You're listening to Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and today my guest is Margaret Paul, PhD. She is a best-selling author and co-creator of the Inner Bonding Self-Healing Process and the Self-Quest online program. Margaret holds a PhD in psychology and is a relationship expert, public speaker, and healer. She has successfully worked with thousands and conducted workshops and seminars for more than 50 years. She is the author of Diet for Divine Connection, Beyond Junk Food and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Spiritual Connection. And she's also the best-selling co-author of Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by You? And Healing Your Aloneness, and author of Inner Bonding. So welcome, Margaret, to Heart of Mind. And I must say, you have been very, very busy in helping a lot of people over the years of your career.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this time with you.
Yeah, so I love the idea of connecting the spiritual work to our diet. And in your book, Diet for Divine Connection, it really begins to speak to how much we have sort of a junk thought philosophy or junk feeling way of living our lives, in that we are so disconnected that there's no inner work or inner realization or inner understanding coming through our everyday life. So perhaps you can introduce this idea of getting to that at-will spiritual connection.
Yes, this is something that I was seeking for a very, very long time. I knew from the research and from my own experience that it was possible to have access to this higher source of love and wisdom and truth. But I could experience it every once in a while. It would sort of be there, like a lot of people might have an experience. But I couldn't do it at will, and I just had a sense that there was a way to have that connection. Now, one of the fortunate things for me is that I started eating very well in my early 20s. I was a sickly kid, sickly young adult, and I read Silent Spring and The Poisons in Your Foods when I was in my early 20s, and I knew it was right. And so I started to eat only organic. There was one little health food store at that time, and so that's what I started to do. And I've done that since then. And then about 34 years ago, Spirit brought in this amazing process of inner bonding, which is a way of learning to love yourself and take responsibility for your feelings. And what I started to understand is that in life there's only two intentions. One is our intention to protect against our painful feelings with various forms of controlling and addictive behavior. And the other is the intention to learn about loving ourselves and sharing our love with others. And so I started to practice that intention to learn, and all of a sudden, I had this connection. It was just amazing. All of this information was coming through me. And so I thought, wow, you know, I just have to teach this to my clients and they're going to have this connection. But it didn't happen for them. And so it took me a while to connect the dots. But I finally realized that it's about vibrancy. It's about frequency. And that when our intention is to learn about love, we raise our frequency. But the frequency, the vibrancy of our body also has to be high, which means that we can't be putting in these dead foods, the junk foods, the processed foods, the vegetable oils, which are just horrible, the sugar, all these preservatives, the GMOs, the pesticides, all this stuff that's contaminating our food. It's not only creating all the awful health problems that people have had, that people are getting the cancer, the heart disease, the diabetes, the autoimmune disease, all these diseases in children, the autism, the ADD, the Alzheimer's, the Parkinson's, but it's disconnecting us from our source. It's dumbing us down. And this is extremely concerning to me because when we don't have that connection, we have no way of knowing what the truth is. And we're easily controlled by other people who can convince us that their truth is right. And so I'm basically on a mission here. People need to start to go back to the way that we ate a few hundred years ago, or at least 100 years ago, before all those processed foods. And they need to open to learning about love. They can't keep coming from fear. And it's a circular thing because the more people eat the junk foods, the more disconnected they are, and then they start to think these thoughts that scare them. They start to think they're not good enough, they're not worthy, they can control how people feel, and they go down into their lower self. They lose touch with their higher self. And so it's so vitally important for people to understand that when they open to learning, and this is a choice, when they open to learning about loving themselves and sharing their love with others, and when they care enough about themselves to feed themselves the natural food that people used to eat, everything changes in their lives. You know, I've been doing this for so many years, working with individuals, businesses, and couples, and I see how rapidly and miraculously people's lives change so much for the better when they're willing to move beyond junk foods and junk thoughts and learn to have that at-will spiritual connection.
Yes, I can relate to this really well. I do a lot of energy work with people, and I've come to the realization that people will only heal if they're willing to take some self-responsibility. You can't really fix people, that they have to engage in this process of transformation and healing and understanding how they're contributing to their own ill situation. And so as I look at what you're saying, I've noticed that sometimes that people go to the other direction in an imbalanced way. So I come in contact with people who are vegetarian, who are vegan, who are very obsessed with their diet, and somehow that obsession still manifests in illness, even though they're essentially eating well. So it seems to me that the thought patterns and the thought diet is integral to the process that you're talking about. So could you go into that a little bit?
Yes, and so yes, you're absolutely right. It's so vital how people are thinking. And this is one of the wonderful things about the inner bonding process. It's a six-step process that anybody can learn that teaches them how to love themselves, how to tap into their false beliefs, how to access their higher truth, how to access information about what is loving to them. One of the unfortunate things in our society is that we have so few role models for what it looks like to truly love oneself. When I was growing up, I came from a very dysfunctional family. My mother was a narcissistic and very angry, and I was an only child, and she took it out on me, and there were a lot of problems with my father. There was a lot of problems. And so there was no role modeling. They didn't role model how to take loving care of themselves, And I was taught, like so many others, that taking care of myself was selfish, that I'm supposed to take care of everybody else. And that's what I grew up with. I grew up trying to take care of everybody else's feelings, being a good girl, doing everything right, but completely abandoning myself. And so, of course, I was very, very unhappy, as so many people are. And the inner bonding process teaches people how to stop abandoning themselves, what it means to abandon their feelings, their behavior, what it means to really learn to show up for themselves and support their own highest good, which they can't do without the spiritual connection, because that becomes the role model. Spirit becomes the role model, since we don't have good role models in our society. So we need to be able to turn to the higher source for what truly is loving to ourselves. And the wonderful thing is that it doesn't take very long. As people learn this process, which is not hard to learn, and they learn to tap into their guidance, which is not hard to do, they start to transform their lives very, very rapidly. They start to shift their thinking. They move out of the false beliefs that they've been operating from for so long. False beliefs like they're not good enough, they're not worthy of love, and moving into being in truth, discovering who they are in their beautiful essence, that spark of the divine that's within them. And as they learn to see and value and love themselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, in relationships, that's when they become filled up with love and they're able to share love with others. One of the things most people don't realize is that the major source of relationship problems is self-abandonment. People abandon themselves, and then they expect the other person to make them feel like they're okay, and both people are doing this, and of course, we have to do this for ourselves, like you said. We have to take this responsibility, and this causes huge problems in relationships. And if you like, I can go into the four major ways that people generally abandon themselves.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so one of the ways is most people have learned to stay up in their head rather than be present in their body. And our feelings, which we need to learn to take responsibility for and lovingly manage, are in the body. But when we were little, our feelings were too big. There was a lot of pain for most people as we were growing up, and we couldn't handle it when we had these little bodies. So we needed to learn to go up in our head and not be connected to our feelings. Now, people need to learn to move their focus from their mind, their limited programmed mind, down into their body so that they're aware the moment there's a feeling that needs attending to. And most people don't realize that their feelings have an enormous amount of information for them, like anxiety and depression are letting them know that they're abandoning themselves emotionally or physically, and that they need to attend to that. So staying up in your head is one form of self-abandonment. Another form that so many people have learned is to judge themselves. And I mentioned that before. Judge themselves. They're not good enough. They got to be perfect. They got to do everything right. They put all this pressure on themselves. They're flawed. They're inadequate. They're unlovable. They're unimportant. All of these judgments create a tremendous amount of stress, which of course leads to illness, of anxiety and depression and guilt and shame and emptiness and aloneness inside. And all of these feelings are letting people know that they're abandoning themselves. Now, the third way that people abandon themselves is they turn to various addictions to avoid and numb out their feelings. They turn to substances like alcohol and food and drugs and nicotine, and they turn to processes like TV and work and sex and pornography and social media and spending and gambling and whatever. So many addictions to avoid feeling their feelings and taking responsibility for learning from them and lovingly managing them. And then the fourth way is that people tend to make other people responsible for their feelings. They blame other people, and they think that other people should be making them feel like they're okay, like they're worthy, like they're lovable. And, of course, that has a huge negative effect on relationships. So these four ways, staying in your head, judging yourself, turning to various addictions, and making others responsible, will lead to so much inner pain. If you imagine that you have an actual child, and when the child comes to you with some pain, you just stay up in your head, you go work on your computer, you judge the child, you know, you shouldn't be feeling this way, you just go graze in the refrigerator, or you even try to give the child away to somebody else to take care of, that child's going to feel devastated, going to feel rejected, going to feel abandoned, and therefore anxious and depressed and alone and empty inside. This is what people do to ourselves. It's like inner child abuse, where people are neglecting and abandoning and rejecting themselves without realizing it, and without realizing that that's causing so much of the pain that they're actually trying to get away from, and it's a vicious circle.
Yes, sounds very, very familiar. You just spoke about the whole human race, it seems,
to some degree.
I mean, I see it in relationships. I see it at work. I see it in politics. It's a human condition that we all are impacted by to some degree or another. But really, what you offer is the opportunity for us to really recognize this and to change it. And I want to get into some of the steps that you have for inner bonding. But before going to that, I would like for you to take a step back for a minute and talk a little bit deeper into this divine connection between food and, you know, the divine connection, healthy body, healthy relationships. And you have a chapter on the gut-brain-spirit connection in terms of how the chemical processes in our body are affecting our capacity to make this connection. And I would love for you to go into that a bit so people can understand why they need to change their diets.
Yeah, so, you know, the research, the more recent research in the last 10, 12 years indicates that so much of our immune system is in the gut. And previously, they didn't really realize this, but now they know that our gut is that a balanced gut brings about health, and an imbalanced gut brings about illness. So what happens when people eat the processed foods, especially the sugar, the oil, but also the factory farm foods, anything that, you know, has the pesticides, all of that in it, the GMOs, what happens is that these foods squash out, they actually kill, you know, along with antibiotics and drugs, the good bacteria in the gut, and the bad bacteria take over. Now, these bad bacteria can create little holes in the intestine called leaky gut syndrome. They create a lot of toxicity in the gut itself. And what the research has shown is that there's a direct link between the gut and the brain through the vagus nerve. So these toxicity, these chemicals that are created by these bad flora, these gut flora, go out through the holes in the intestine, and they affect the organs which is what's creating so much illness, and it also goes up into the brain. And when that toxicity goes up into the brain, it can create anxiety and depression. Well, this is one of the things that's so upsetting to me. Like when I hear about like suicides of Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, and these mass murders, I just am heartbroken because I know that this didn't need to happen. That these people, all the mass murders, I don't know if you know this, but all the people who have done these mass shootings have been on psychotropic drugs. So what happens is they eat the bad food, the chemicals go up into the brain, these chemicals cause anxiety and depression, then they go to a psychiatrist, and they get these psychotropic drugs, which the research has proved can create anxiety and depression and can create suicide and homicide. So there's a backlash here. It creates the very thing that people are trying to avoid, plus it has those side effects in some people. And so in my book, I footnote this, where in the book Diet for Divine Connection, I footnote where every single mass shooter has been on these drugs, every single one. Now, that's very scary. And when they look at the people who are committing suicide, they have also been on these drugs. So there's a circular thing happening here. People eat badly. They create the toxicity in the brain. It's not like the drug companies say, where you've got this imbalance in the brain and you need these drugs. No, you have an imbalance in your gut from what you've been eating that then creates the toxicity in the brain. Then you go to a psychiatrist, and they don't know what to do. They don't understand what's happening. All they know to do is give you drugs, and then there's even more side effects. These drugs actually contribute to the toxicity in the gut. And so they are doing nothing to heal the underlying issues. Well, when the gut is toxic and your body is toxic because the organs are getting affected, and then the brain is toxic, your vibrancy, your frequency is very low. You are operating from a lower part of yourself, the lower self, the ego self, the wounded self, whatever it is that we want to call that part. And that part of us cannot access our higher self, our higher guidance, again, whatever that is, whatever their belief system is about that, cannot, because the frequency is too low. And so it completely disconnects us from our source of love and our source of truth. And it creates this fear and this emptiness that so many people are acting from. It's so sad to me that this is going on. And when I work with people, people come to me like, I'll give you an example. This man in his 60s came to me very depressed. And I looked at what was going on in his life. He had a good marriage. His grown kids were fine. He had a successful business. No outer reason for depression. And yet he just couldn't get off the couch. He just wanted to watch TV every day. Just no motivation. So I said, how's your diet? And I get the usual answer, oh, I eat well. So I said, tell me what you eat. And he told me, and he was not eating well at all. Not at all. He thought he was. And so I asked him if he'd be willing to follow my suggestions, and he said yes. And so, of course, I told him he needed to start to eat all organic, and I just go along with whatever a person's philosophy is regarding what they're, you know, whether they're vegan or vegetarian or paleo. I don't try and change that, but I do tell them they've got to go off sugar, they've got to go off vegetable oils, they've got to go off anything that's non-organic. So he said, okay, he was going to do it. Well, I had about 4 sessions with him over a period of 2 months because there were a few other issues. I taught him inner bonding, which he was very, very open to. And after 2 months, he said to me, you know, he said, my energy is back, my vitality is back, I've got no desire to sit on the couch, I'm back into my business, my wife and I are having a great time, my son and I have actually started a new business and I feel great. That was in 2 months, Catherine. That's all it took. This man was motivated. He was open. I can't make people be open. He was open. He was open to changing his diet. He was open to changing his thinking, to practicing inner bonding. And in such a short period of time, his life changed completely. And he was done working with me.
Excellent. There's nothing better than understanding that a person has successfully moved through the process and they can just move on. And that really opens you up to help people who are still in that struggle. So I really honor that and respect that. So also in the book, we're speaking of diet for divine connection, beyond junk food and junk thoughts to at-will spiritual connection with our guest, Margaret Paul, PhD. I would like to go into that inner bonding process that people can become acquainted with through the book.
Right.
But you also have an interactive process that you work with people. So I would like you to talk about that after you explain this action, the 6 steps to inner bonding.
Yes. Okay. So the first half of the book is about it's about the whole food issues that we're talking about. And the second half of the book actually does teach the inner bonding process, which I will go through now. So the first step of inner bonding is that people need to practice moving their focus from their mind into their body. And for me, this took a while because, like I said, I was very tuned into other people's feelings to take care of them, but completely unaware of my own. So it took a while for me to move my focus from the outer and being in my head to the inner. But this is what needs to happen. I call it having your inner baby monitor on. It's like if you have a baby and you want to be a good parent, you don't just put the baby to sleep and go out to lunch. You have a baby monitor on, and you can hear when the baby cries so that you can pick the baby up and find out what the baby needs. Does baby need to be fed or changed or held or whatever? Well, this is the same thing on the inner level. We have to stay in our body, tuned into our feelings, so that we know the moment we're feeling anything other than peace and fullness inside, so that then we can attend to what we're thinking, what's happening with another person, what's happening with a situation, how we're treating ourselves. We can attend to what's going on because the feelings have this information for us. So step one, step one is getting present in your body and making a decision that you actually want responsibility for your feelings. And let me just say, there's two kinds of feelings. There's the feelings we cause with our self-abandonment, whether it's physical or emotional self-abandonment. And that's the anxiety, the depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness, jealousy, these kinds of feelings. Then there's another kind of feeling, which is the kind of existential feelings of life that come if people are being mean and unloving to you or to themselves or to others, or there's loss, there's catastrophe. So these are the loneliness that we feel when we want to connect with somebody and nobody's available, the grief we feel over loss, the heartbreak we feel over people's unloving behavior to us and others and themselves, and the helplessness that we feel over other people. We're not helpless over ourselves, but we are helpless over others. And when we see people we love hurting themselves, hurting others, it's so painful to accept that we can't control them. People, you know, they try and control each other rather than feel the depth of these existential these existential feelings of life. And when we were young, these were the feelings that we could least manage. These are the feelings we tried to avoid, the feelings of helplessness over our parents or peers or others. the heartbreak over how we might have been treated, the loneliness that we might have felt, the grief over loss. We couldn't handle these. And so we had to disconnect. We had to go in our heads. We had to learn these addictions. This was our survival. But now, that's getting in the way. The self-abandonment is getting in the way. And so now we need to go inside, be with all of our feelings with compassion, and make a decision that we want responsibility for them. That's step one. Step two is we focus in our heart and we consciously say, I want to learn about what my feelings are telling me, what my false beliefs are, what would be loving to me, what would be true. I'm open to learning. Rather than wanting to avoid and control, I want to learn about loving myself and then being able to share my love with others. So we open to learning in step two, and then we invite the presence of love and compassion and kindness into our heart by simply saying, I invite you into my heart. Even if people don't have any kind of spiritual belief, if they just say, I open to compassion, I open to love, because love and compassion are not generated from within. These are feelings and actions that we open to. So we can just invite that in regardless of what the belief system is. And then in step three, see, when we do this, when we open to learning and we invite in the presence of love, we become what's called an inner bonding, a loving adult. And this is what we need to be, rather than coming from our ego woundedness, our wounded self. We need to be a loving adult in order to learn. So from that place, we move into step three, which is we're asking the feelings. Let's say when you tune in, you're feeling anxious. So in step three, you would say, what am I doing? What am I telling you? How am I treating you? What am I doing or not doing? Like you're talking to a child. We can call our feelings, our feeling self, an inner child, if that's helpful to people. So I'm asking this feeling part of myself, how am I treating you? What am I telling you? And so then you go inside, not from your head, but you go inside and you let the feelings answer. Now, if there's been a lot of self-abandonment, that feeling part might not feel safe in letting you in, but with some practice, it will let you in. And when I started to do this and deal with my anxiety, this feeling part, this inner child in me, told me things like, you're always judging me. You don't think I'm good enough. I have to be perfect. You're putting all this pressure on me. I can never make a mistake. Well, that creates a lot of anxiety, as it would with any child. And so then the next part, once I realize how I'm treating myself, I go a little deeper into this wounded part of me, which is up in the lower part of the brain in the amygdala and has been programmed with so many false beliefs. And I say, you know, there must be a good reason that you're in so much judgment, that you're putting so much pressure, that you're saying that I have to be perfect and I can't make a mistake. What is that about? What do you believe? And this part might say, well, if we're perfect and we do everything right, then other people will like us, and then we'll feel okay. Other people are responsible for making us feel okay, and so we have to do everything right, we have to be perfect, and then they'll like us, and then they'll love us, and then they'll make us feel okay. So these were a lot of the false beliefs that I uncovered when I started doing this, that I could control other people by being perfect and doing everything right, which is a big false belief, because we can't, and that I'm not good enough, things like that. So then once you understand how you're treating yourself and why you're treating yourself this way, what the false beliefs are, then in step four, you open to that higher source of guidance. and you're asking two questions. What is the truth about any of the false beliefs that I've uncovered, and what is the loving action toward this inner child in me? And with practice and taking care of yourself on the physical level and staying open to learning, you're going to start to access that information. It's not as hard as people think. It actually comes through pretty easily once your frequency is high enough to access. So for me, when I started doing this, it was clear to me that I had this huge false belief that I could control people by being perfect. And my higher self said, look, nobody controls you by their perfection. You decide all by yourself how you feel about them, and so do they. And this pressure that you're putting on yourself to be perfect, all it's doing is making you anxious and tense. It has no control over others whatsoever. They're going to either like you or they're not going to like you, and that's up to them. And through this access that I had with my guidance, I could start to see who I am inside through the eyes of truth, not through the eyes of my parents, not through the eyes of my own woundedness or other people, but through the eyes of this higher source of love and truth. And I started to see my own beautiful soul. And through that, I started to see the beautiful souls of everybody. And that's what I help people do. It's a lot of what I help people do, is to see how incredible they are, how beautiful they are, that they have this soul inside that's just amazing. And so once you start to see this, once you start to know this, then you're much more motivated to take good care of yourself. Like at this point, it's very easy for me to eat extremely well. It's no problem at all. I used to be addicted to food, to sugar, to junk, but it's very easy for me now because I want my inner self to have a very healthy body to live in my whole life, and I want to be able to maintain that at-will connection. So I don't do anything that's going to harm that. It becomes very easy to take care of yourself as you learn to see yourself. So that's step four, and step five is you take the loving action. Whatever it is that you've learned in step four, you now do. And this can be very challenging because, you know, maybe the action is to speak up with somebody that you've been afraid to be truthful with, or maybe it's to go back to school and get a new vocation, or maybe it's to change your diet or stop smoking or stop drinking or all kinds of things. And so, you know, these are somewhat challenging, but if you don't take the action, then nothing really changes. Nothing changes without action. So in step five, we take the action we've been guided to take, and then once we've done that, in step six, we go back in to see how we're feeling. And when we've taken a loving action, and it might simply be just getting connected and being more compassionate rather than judgmental with ourselves, but once we take the loving action, we're going to feel a sense of relief. We're going to feel these painful feelings of anxiety and depression and guilt and shame and anger and aloneness and emptiness. We're going to feel relief from them. We're going to feel the healing happening on the inner level. And like I said, it doesn't have to take very long. Once you start to practice this and you actually learn how to connect with your guidance and take the loving action, you get tremendous relief. It's really amazing what happens.
Yes, I can really see that, and I really resonate with what you're saying. The thing that I want to ask you about is, I think hearkening back to this level of self-responsibility, maybe you would characterize it as will or desire, maybe it's commitment. Mm-hmm. But what is that ingredient that takes a person from being in a space of suffering to embarking on this journey that you are charting out for people?
Well, in my experience, there's a couple of things that motivate people. One is if they have enough suffering and they say, look, it's, you know, life isn't worth living this way. There's got to be a better way. And so from that suffering, if they learn about inner bonding and they learn about taking care of themselves physically and emotionally, they're ready to do this. I see this all the time with people. They're ready to shift their intention because they're in so much pain. The other thing that motivates people, and this was one of the things that was deeply motivating for me, is at some point many years ago, I was questioning, you know, what's the point of life? Why am I on the planet? What am I doing here? And that's when I had started having this access to my guidance. And my guidance came through very clear and said, as a soul, you came here to evolve in your ability to love. That's what we're here for, to evolve in our ability to love. And it has to start with loving yourself. Because you can't love others when you're abandoning yourself. Then you're going to be needy. You're going to be pulling on them to take care of you. So it has to start with learning to love yourself and then extending that love out to others. Well, for me, when I got that, well, I got, wow, that is why I'm here. That was extremely motivating for me. I was also suffering a lot. At that time, I was miserable. I wasn't well. I was just a really unhappy person. So the suffering also was deeply motivating for me. But this understanding of why we're here was, for me, very, very powerful. And it is for a lot of people. So that's what I see motivates people. They want a relief from suffering, but they also want to do what they came here to do. And they can feel, some people can feel the truth of that within themselves.
Excellent, excellent. And for those of you who are tuning in, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and we're speaking with Margaret Paul, the author of Diet for Divine Connection. And Margaret, I would also like for you to speak about your actual course material. You do have a website. I believe it's innerbonding.com.
Right.
So tell us about how you can support people and how you do support people in this process. Because I have to say, it sounds beautiful, but people might have difficulty knowing how to get through this process, even if they do have the book, Diet for Divine Connection. Maybe they need that extra support and wisdom that you can offer.
Yes, so we have a lot of help on our website. We have a free course that people can take that has the outline of inner bonding. We have a place called Free Help for people. We have thousands of articles they can read. So it just depends on how much people want to invest in themselves. If they don't have a lot of money, one of the least expensive things they can do is join Inner Bonding Village. It's a community, and get a lot of help there. The least expensive level is only $9.95 a month, and people get a lot of support. If they want support from my very, very well-trained facilitators who are in training, they can join at higher levels and get free sessions there. And that's one of the best deals there is, because those free sessions are so helpful for them in getting started. And then I have 30-day online courses, which I try and keep the cost down for people. And so the most powerful course is Learning to Love Yourself. It's called Love Yourself. And it's a one-month online course where every day they receive an email with an action step. And it's an email that has a lesson and then an action step. And then we have a forum where they can interact and ask me their questions. And once a week I do a coaching session where I also answer questions and work with a couple of people. So it's a very, very powerful healing course, and I have one on frequency, on being able to connect with your guidance. there's a number of them on the website. One is Attracting Your Beloved. And then we have a very powerful course called SelfQuest. This is an online course. It's also a membership. People can join for 3 months or 6 months or a lifetime. This is, I've worked on this program for 19 years. It's amazing. And it teaches inner bonding in a very, very in-depth way. So if people like to work on their computer, that's a truly amazing way. And they can find out about that at selfquest.com. We have many well-trained facilitators. I work with people individually on phone and Skype. I do workshops around the country. I teach 5-day intensives and 3-day advanced intensives where people can get a deep level of healing. So do the other facilitators. I'm very picky at who gets trained to do inner bonding. They have to be people who are doing this in their life for quite a while and are living a very full and joyful life. And then they can become the role models for helping other people with inner bonding. So there's a whole lot of help. We have a fantastic facilitator training program for anybody who's motivated to move into that. We have facilitators all over the world. And so we offer so many ways of people receiving help. If anybody wants help, there's going to be a way for them to get it, regardless of where they are financially.
Excellent, excellent. What I would like to do now is that, after putting it out there for people who want to begin to make this connection, is there something that you could share with people, say, in the next few minutes, that they could take a step and a few steps and start doing this right now?
Yes, okay. So whoever's listening, just take a couple of deep breaths. Take a couple of deep breaths. And as you breathe, follow your breath as it goes in and out of your body so that this is mindful breathing. And following your breath, putting your mind on your breath, helps you to move out of your mind focus and into body focus. And as you breathe, scan your body for any physical sensations, because our emotions show up physically. They show up as tightness, tension, fluttering, emptiness, all kinds of ways, numbness. And so you want to breathe in and scan your body and notice. And notice without any judgment. Just notice with curiosity. And just get present. Like you're sitting with a child. Just getting present with kindness towards the feelings. Just that alone of moving towards the feelings rather than away from them, which is what most people have learned to do, is move away from their feelings, which only makes that inner child feel more abandoned. Moving towards the feelings with kindness and just being with them right now. And being willing to notice anything you might be telling yourself, any way that you might be treating yourself, again, without judgment, that may be causing some of these feelings. You might not be able to tune into that right away, but with some practice you will. And one of the things that I suggest that people start to practice, even before they're really deeply into the steps of inner bonding, is to start to ask throughout the day, what is loving to me right now? What is in my highest good right now? And I'll tell you a little story about that. A man came to me and he said, "You've been helping my wife. She's very spiritual. I'm not. I don't believe in anything. I'm an atheist. But I want to learn what she's learning." And so what I instructed him to do, since he didn't have a source of guidance, is just ask these questions of the air. I said, just ask the air, what's loving to me? What's in my highest good? And he was willing to do that, to really open and ask. And after a very short period of time, maybe 6 weeks, he said to me, you know, he said, I've been asking the air, and I'm getting amazing answers. He said, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't care, but it's changing my life.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah, and so I ask, you know, I encourage people to start just asking the question, what's living to me right now? What's in my highest good right now? And see what happens.
Excellent. I love it. And just to let everyone know, we're speaking with Margaret Paul, PhD, the author of Diet for Divine Connection, Beyond Junk Food and Junk Thoughts to At-Will Spiritual Connection. And you can find out more about her work at her websites. And you have two websites. Do you want to give both websites?
Yes, there's innerbonding.com. Which is all the information there. And on that site, there is a link to SelfQuest as well. SelfQuest.com is where you can find out about the online program.
And if people want to connect to you or to one of your facilitators, would they do that through a website or is there
yes,
an email?
Right on the website, right at the top, there's a phone number for my office. My wonderful assistant, Valerie, who's just the most loving person, will help you with anything. On the website, there's a link that to facilitators, and you can click on it, and it says Find a Facilitator, and you can look at all the facilitators, their bios, and if you want to work with one of them, their information is there. If you want to work with me, you can call my office for any questions. You can call that number that's on the website.
Okay. So the best resource at this point is innerbonding.com. People
right.
can make all the connections they need from there. So we're just about out of time. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share with people, some point of wisdom, encouragement?
Yeah, so one of the things that is so heartwarming to me is that I continually hear from people all over the world things like, I've been working on myself for so long. I've been, you know, in therapy, attending workshops, reading books for 20 years, and this is the first time I understand what I've been doing that's causing my pain and what I can do about it. And with SelfQuest, I've gotten amazing testimonials from people. People who have been on drugs for years and couldn't get off and have been to recovery centers and finally got off just by going through SelfQuest. So I want you to know that you can learn this process, that this is a step-by-step roadmap for self-healing, your pain and as well as your physical health. And so this is available for you. This is available for anybody who wants to learn to take this responsibility for themselves.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today. Margaret Paul, the author of Diet for Divine Connection, and you can always go to the website, innerbonding.com, for a deeper dive into this healing, self-healing process. And I will say, Margaret, I've enjoyed this conversation very much. And I love that you're offering this teaching from a perspective of self-empowerment, letting people know that they have the power to transform and change their own lives if they have the right information that and what you're providing is a real pathway for that. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I want people to know that they can become their own guru, their own authority. Catherine, thank you so much for a lovely interview. I've really enjoyed it with you.
Thank you very much. Take good care, and bye for now.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I wanted to remind all of you, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium, or Heart of Mind Radio, you will find on the website prn.fm. You look into the archive page, and you will find some links to reach the website of Margaret Paul, and as well as how you can make a connection with myself. I'm Catherine Davis, and we are going to continue as we go. I want you to tune in again. Join us every Saturday at 6 p.m., and then we will be able to update you and all that's happening in our world. Bye for now, and have a good week.